If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Let's talk some motherfucking shit. That's what I want to do. I want to find some people to pick on and pick on them.
Adam's in the mood again.
Yeah, you know what?
In the mood again?
You know why? Because you remember last time that we were on like a negative kick, we were told, for like four or five episodes in a row. I feel like we've been way too fucking positive for a while.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I feel like we're too...
This is fitness and wellness.
No, we're a little too happy. A little too kumbaya for me.
You know why?
I need to ruffle some feathers.
I know why you're irritable right now.
Why you say that?
Because it's super warm in here again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I lost my keys.
Yeah, you did lose your keys.
Yeah, I'm kind of fucked right
now. That sucks.
That is annoying.
And I am somebody
who lost the keys to your Prius.
Yeah, I think somebody stole them. Somebody saw my key leash and they're like, oh, that's I could probably hawk spoiler. That and sell that. So somebody stole my keys.
So I think people need to understand why
you're a mind pump listener. You stole my keys. I'll fucking get you.
They're like, it's Adam. Here's this is we need to
planning something.
We need to tell people this.
Being a dick.
We need to tell people why you're so paranoid about losing your keys. I don't think I've met anybody who's had their car stolen as many times as you have.
Yes.
How many times have you had car stolen?
Well, it's been officially stolen twice. So two different cars were stolen.
What do you mean officially?
Well, I mean, I've had my car broken into a lot of times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, a lot of times I've had a window busted out or somebody pop into it and steal my CDs or whatever I had in there and steal my stereo. I've had that happen a bunch of times on different cars. But I've had two vehicles completely stolen. Both those times.
Right in front of your house, right?
Yeah, right in front of my house. One of them was a gated community, my condo that I had before the house I'm in now.
Did you ever find them? The cars?
Yeah. So what happened was, so I had an Acura Integra that was in 1998. It was actually the first car I owned. And it was all tricked out. So I had literally...
You had the Rice Rocket?
Oh, yeah. I had Fast and Furious was definitely our generation and one of my favorite
movies. Was it Type R or was it just regular VTEC?
No, it was... Well, so Batcave... Oh, so you know your Integra's...
It had butt flames. Bro.
Listen to this guy. Is it Type R?
Bro, I had a VR6 Volkswagen.
Okay, so the LS...
You guys are speaking another language.
The LS... So the Type R America. Is completely custom already and you can't do any upgrades to that. It's already got your basic bolt-ons, like your upgraded fuel rail, your bigger intake, things like that already done to it. So you can't do much. Mine is an LS, but my LS was, I mean, it was
But that's still the VTEC.
No, it's not a VTEC. That's not a GSR. Either. So GSR, it would go an LS, GSR, and then and Type R.
Got it.
And the GSR.
It still sounded like this. Am I right?
I had everything done to it except for a turbo. So every, underdrive. So
you were pushing at least 170 horsepower.
Yeah.
170.
Burn out the front tires.
Yeah, totally. So the front, my stereo system I had in it, every time I shift in a third, the stereo would come flying out of the dash, you know?
And you thought it was because you were so fast.
Oh, it was.
Look how fast I am, babe.
Too so fast. Cool.
I'll knock the stereo out of the fucking.
So, anyways, and it was bright red. It was, like I said, it was completely tricked out. I probably had about seven.
Do you have white rims?
I did at one point. I didn't.
Oh, shit. I'm calling all of it.
I had inkies when they got stolen. So the inkies on some Nittos, on some 40 series tires. They were on paper pretty much. So.
Do you have a sway bar?
I did have a sway bar.
Bro, this is excellent.
Well, I had every upgrade you
this
could.
This was straight up.
You have
Nas?
No, I didn't have NOS. I didn't have NOS. I had it was port and polished, and I port and polished it so it would be ready to take NOS. So that was eventually going to be an upgrade to it.
You went all in.
It was all in, and it was, and the outside was all done. It was all I had ground control springs on it, so you could lift it up and down and shit and. Stereo system all in it, all done. I had a big old 5.5-inch attack. I had the big dunk exhaust that was couldn't get more Rice Rocket out for sure. So my buddy and I
still got 25 miles of the gallon.
Yeah, right. It was actually, you know what? That one, I don't know which one breaks my heart more because both these cars I loved a lot. That one, it sucks because it was my high school car. It was my first car. I did trick it out. I did take very good care of it. It lost the garage space when I bought my new truck because I brought a lifted Chevy that was really nice, which was my second vehicle to get stolen. And that was a pretty bad.
Man, you went on the other side of the spectrum.
I did. And I had them both at the same time. So it was really fun to drive. So I'd have,
you're the basically you're the wizard and you're trying to cover the entire spectrum of Poontang. You got the rocket and you've got the lifted truck.
The rocket.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that was the first one
different
to go.
Demographics.
It got stolen right out of my gated community, and we didn't find it. They didn't find it for, well, I come out, right? I call the cops. Cop pretty much tells me, oh, sir, these are stolen all the time. You'll never see this car again. I was like, so I'm heartbroken. And the shitty part about this is because I bought the brand new truck, and I had just, and so I had both of them on my insurance. I put the fucking Integra on liability because I never drove it. And I had it on, and so I lost everything when it got stolen. Well, check this out. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call, and it's a tow company, and the tow company says, "We have your car," and I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "Is it drivable? Is it still is all the wheels on it and everything like that?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, wheels are on it. Looks like, I mean, we can't obviously start it, but we can look in it and see it. Looks like everything's there. I don't know. It looks like the stereo might have been taken." I'm like, "Oh, of course. And the stereo's gonna get stolen." You know, that was the first thing. I figured that's what they were there going there for. I was more concerned with the motor. The motor had the most amount of money in it, and so I'm pretty excited. I'm heading to the tow yard, and I'm like, I get out of my car and I'm running up and I'm looking at it through the fence, and I'm like, holy shit, my wheels are still on there and my exhaust. Fuck, if they didn't take the time to take my wheels, my exhaust off, dude, maybe they just stole my stereo. Fuck it. I'll just get a new stereo. I'm not even tripping. Right. And, I get up there and the key thing's kind of fucked up, so I can't start it. And then I was like, well, let me pop the hood and see if they did get into the hood. I popped the hood. And they have fucking stripped
just straight every. Gone.
Oh, I don't have anything in there, bro. Anything. I mean, they
empty space.
Gutted it. Ugh. Completely gutted it for all the parts, you know. And
yeah, that hurts.
Oh, that hurt. That hurt really bad. And I was just like, man, that's pretty shitty. And so I had to pay for the time that it was there because it got towed there, right? So I had to pay for that. Then I had to pay for this car that fucking doesn't run. I have liability on. I'm not going to get anything for it. To get back to my house, I pay it back to get to my gated community. Well, long story short, you know, during this time of like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? I was driving my other vehicle. I'm not worried about seeing from my house. It got towed 3 times from my house for sitting and not moving. Somebody called it in as an abandoned vehicle. And so 3 different times I had to go pay for it to get out of the tow yard and then towed back to my house. I had to pay it again. And so finally I literally give it to, you know who Lawrence? Lawrence bought it off from me.
What?
I hooked him up.
Fat. I remember that. He drove that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. He bought it from me. And I gave him a fat deal because he had a mechanic come over and say, how much would I have to spend to fix this up? And I think I gave it to him for like $4,000.
So did you race and shit at night?
I did all that stuff.
See, I had a VR6 Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was I actually had a 6-cylinder. So it was a little bit bigger. It was a little bit bigger, yeah. Just like most things on me.
Poppy.
Yeah. Although bigger. I probably would have smoked you. But yeah, no.
Yeah, I stuck with American. You know, I had a 56 GMC truck. Actually, my truck I sold to this guy in Denmark. My first truck that I had bought when I was in, yeah, of all places, Denmark apparently is into hot rods. a 400 big block Pontiac engine in there. Ratchet shifter, dude. I was like lighting them up everywhere.
Do you have a K&N air filter,
bro?
all day. Justin always has to out testosterone us.
Oh, always.
I'm getting really fucking sick and tired of this.
Just like, I mean, it was we hard to hold it back at the stoplight. I was just lurching the whole time.
Justin's like the Tim the Toolman Taylor of our show,
dude. Every time we do something, we bring something up, and he's got to put hair and balls on.
I'm sorry, but you guys are all talking cars, and I'm like waiting for my turn. You know what I mean? And I was just gonna get run over with your little rice rockets.
Has anyone had? Now, am I the only one that's had one stolen? I mean, no one else has had any.
No, never.
No. Yeah.
Well, we don't have as many pissed off ex-girlfriends. You know what I mean? Stupid, that's what I think the problem is.
Now I've had 2 cars keyed also, which that was probably
chicks, bro.
That's there a chick.
You,
go. Yeah,
you mess with girls,
that's 100%. A chick move.
They will key
if
your
you're phone. A dude. If you're a dude and you ever key someone's car, you deserve to get your ass whooped someday.
So bad.
So bad.
You're
for
just
that.
A massive pussy.
That's a bitch move of all bitch moves for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. So, Adam, you wanted to talk about. What do you want to talk about? Personal trainers or fitness professionals?
Well, this has been on my mind because it's...
That was a good transition.
You like that? It was super smooth.
It wasn't awful. Like forced at all.
Hey,
Doug, we gotta work some lube in there somewhere.
That wasn't a good DJ.
Was Doug
it?
Waving you down over here or something?
No,
know about it?
I just felt
we should
like
mix master that somehow.
You're gonna have to do something special there, Doug.
Yeah, and then like we start, hey, yeah, we're talking about trainers.
Here's our transition to fitness now.
Yeah.
So lately I've had people that I've been helping out, like as far as fitness and nutrition and coaching and stuff. And it just, it's so hard for me. If you know me already, and like we've known each other for maybe a year or more, and you hire these coaches, you know, these men's physique bodybuilding coaches to help you with your nutrition and your workout program. And I know this is my own ego, so I know this is my own thing that I have to work on and stuff, but I also feel like that's why I have Mind Pump, is so I can let my ego go and fucking talk shit, so I'm going to. It's like, dude, you got somebody like me who, you know, I'm not claiming I'm the smartest guy in the room at all, but I will tell you that I definitely know more than about 99% of all these online
which
coaches.
Which, to be honest, is not that hard.
No, it's not. No. It's not that impressive.
Yeah.
And just because none of us do this, right? None of us list our certifications that we all had and shit like that, because to us, that shit doesn't even matter. If you haven't gone out and continued to further your education and fitness, just because you have one or two or even three national certifications at that, or a kinesiology degree, or even a fucking doctorate at that, that does not, trust me, I've fired so many doctors and masters that worked for me. Like, it's just because you got that, went through 8 years of school, doesn't all of a sudden qualify you to make you as a good personal trainer. And being a personal trainer is a lot different than being a fitness celebrity who gets in fucking great shape and then all of a sudden thinks they can coach the world on how to do it also, because they figured it out for themselves. In fact, that's probably one of the biggest fallacies that I see, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I would say when it comes to fitness, because it's such an evolving industry, right? It's constantly evolving. You're constantly learning. My philosophy now is very different than it was, say, 5 years ago. And 5 years ago, I had been in the industry for a very long time, right? I think the best teachers in this industry is experience. Mm-hmm. It really is. I've learned far more from training thousands of people than I ever did in any course or any book that I ever read. And as you train lots of people and work with lots of different kinds of people, everything from young to old, to, you know, great muscle building genes, to bad muscle building genes, to injuries, you tend to learn how to work with different situations. And there's even a lot of fitness professionals that have very high educations, PhDs, for example, but they were never personal trainers. Mm-hmm. They trained themselves, they were athletes, they were very fit, then they went and got an education in, you know, whether it be, you know, exercise science or, you know, kinesiology. And then all of a sudden now I'm a PhD. Now I can train everybody.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of, same thing, Adam. I've had a lot of trainers come in and, you know, apply to work there. And I look at their resume and they've got, you know, bachelor's or master's degree in, you know, kinesiology and, you know, advanced certifications through NASM. And they start and they've got a good kind of, okay, you know, they can get started.
Got a good vocabulary behind them.
But they're still beginners. Yeah. There's total beginners.
Well, I feel like it's totally backwards. You know, coming from getting my degree and going through the academic world and trying to really further my education as far as you know, the human body's concerned and movement. It's just so funny because, like, if I was to do it again, I would go 100% into the experience, dive into that. You know, it brings about this thirst for really identifying what's going on, and like having these as part of your newfound vocabulary that's applicable. And so I don't know, for me, it just having a base, you know, going through college and everything else was great. It did help for me to get a solid understanding, but at the same time,
but you were nowhere near ready to be a trainer.
No.
Graduating with your,
and I recognize that was such a new thing for me to step into again, but I was hungry for it at the time. And it was only once I started going through the process that it all started to kind of come back to me, some things, you know, from lectures and courses that I'd taken. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, it still trumps, like, the experience trumps all of that combined.
Yeah. I would say if I ever started a certification, it would be a mentorship is how I would design it.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You would do some book work, but most of what you'd learn is you'd go underneath someone and you'd be a mentor for a year and make a little bit of money, and then graduate into becoming a master. Yeah. Just knowing what I know about fitness, that's really the only way you can learn well in terms of how to work with people and train people. And here's another thing on that topic. doctors don't know much when it comes to exercise. They don't know much when it comes to diet. And I have to say that because I've had many, many clients come to me and say, my doctor's putting me on this medically approved, shake program to make me lose.
Do you know how much nutrition a doctor is required to have
in
their entire schooling?
Not much.
One semester.
Yeah, not much at all.
One semester of nutrition is their requirement for an MD. That is, are you kidding me? One semester of nutrition? There's not one national certification that an average trainer would take that it doesn't cover more than that.
Right.
So,
or exercise. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients come in and say, well, my doctor says I can't. I shouldn't squat anymore, or I shouldn't lift anything above my head.
Clients that listen to our show and also train with me know this because they know my biggest pet peeve are doctors giving that shit out.
Exercise advice.
Yeah, I don't come out and prescribe fucking medicine, so don't you fucking come and prescribe exercise and movement for my clients because they'll always, and it reminds me of when you did first start as a trainer. When we first started off, and we learned, we did not learn true biomechanics. We learned safety and precaution and how to teach someone a basic movement, but to be always bowed on the safer side first versus range of motion or what may be ideal for that person. So we were taught to do a lot of these exercises in a shortened manner. And it's so crazy to me that we were teaching, and they still teach that way because they know that in the 30 plus population, which is 80% of the people that buy personal training, have all these postural deviations. Most common syndrome is upper cross syndrome. So they know these people are already in these deviated positions, and they're smart because they wrote these certifications in books. And so they know, oh, if we're going to teach people how to do an overhead press, we're going to tell them that they should come down to 90 degrees because more than likely that their client has a, excessively protracted shoulder girdle and it's not going to have the same range of motion as somebody is. And if they try and depress their elbows all the way or shoulders all the way down, they're going to get this excessive arch in their low back. And so safety will have them stop at 50 degrees.
Well, I think about all of the how complicated it is training a client now. Now, we take for granted because we've been doing it for so long. But like you're saying, when you notice something in a bench press or a squat or any kind of a movement, you can pick it apart depending on the individual and change the movement. And there's so many variances that it would be very difficult to create a certification or a course that would cover all that without a long-term mentorship. You know what I'm saying? Like when you talk to doctors or surgeons, a lot of what they learn is when they do their residencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're doing the fucking learning, man. They're out there and they're in the shit.
Yeah.
And
so all the variables just present themselves to them and they have to react. And, it's really that response and, being quick on your feet and like you learn from doing.
You do. And, I'll give you another example. Like I've gotten into debates online and you'll see Mr. Fitness, celebrity or fitness PhD even will say, I'll give you an example. High intensity interval training superior to steady state because look at this study. Burns more fat, shorter period of time, that's it, case closed. But there's no experience applied to that. Now, I know as a trainer that yes, the study's going to show that, but there's going to be lots of people that high intensity interval training is going to be too much. And it's going to push them over the edge and they're not going to do well with it. And or let's look at long-term success or let's look at, that study might only cover 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but this person's going to be working out for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can't do that kind of cardio for the rest of their life. So there's all these variables and factors that come, you only learn with experience.
Well, it's the same frustration too I see with I've trained this guy that was like 400 something pounds, he was very obese, and the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to bring him to this weight loss clinic that's involved right there on site with the hospital, and so they got doctors managing this thing. However, all they're doing is restricting them to like 500 to 1,000 calories and then giving them like these bars. And it's just like, I got so pissed off because there's no like logical progression for these people. It's like,
no,
like, and the thing is they want like an immediate success. So they want to see, they want to give them like, here, you know, you're losing weight. If, you know, things are happening for you or whatever, but they're just crash coursing them, crash diet. They're not teaching them anything.
No, they're treating it like a lot of things that Western medicine does. Western medicine does some things very, very well. If you get a broken bone, you need surgery, you have an infection, you want Western medicine. Nothing beats it. That's why it's the most successful form of medicine in the world, because with that emergency shit, it's awesome. But that's how they treat weight loss and fitness. They'll take someone who's obese and they'll say, we need you to lose weight right away. We know exactly how many calories are in these shakes that we make. Mm-hmm. So it's measured. And here you go. And you're in this room. You're not going to leave. And we can watch you lose weight. And we saved your life.
Yeah.
But there's no long-term, at all, long-term success to that. And with Western medicine, they ignore or completely forget anything that has that doesn't have some kind of clinical testing. Even though logic will tell you that you should, you know, eat whole natural foods, and you'd be hard pressed to find a doctor disagree with that. But yet they will prescribe these shakes because this is what the clinical studies show, that you need to have this many calories. It's controlled. And that becomes kind of the issue. I remember, I mean, in fitness, being taught that you should never do things behind the head. So, like, you should never press behind the head. You should never do a pull down behind the head.
Yeah, behind pull the head. Down. You shouldn't do pull ups, you know, with
behind the head. And now, why? Why do they say that? Well, it's more risk. That's really about it. It's more risk. But if you have the shoulder mobility and you can do it and you can move in a way where your shoulders are moving in a safe manner, where scapula is moving with the shoulder, things are loose, things are stable and strong, that's fucking fine. As a matter of fact, pretty much any movement that you can do that you're stable, that you don't have glaring muscle imbalances, and that you could do under your own control, full range of motion, is fine. Any motion
is good, is ideal.
Well, if you're a freaking gymnast and you want to do a back bend where you're literally, you know, folding yourself backwards in half, but they're totally in control, strong, no glaring muscle imbalances, there's nothing wrong with them doing that. It's not bad for them. Now, if I fucking did a back bend, you'd call 911 because I broke myself. But that's kind of the, you know, where you learn through the books, is they teach you these types of things that are not really true when you go and apply them.
Yeah.
They're not true at all. And I've had many clients where I've worked on shoulder mobility and worked up to the point where we can do something like a behind the neck press and gotten fantastic results, of course, under my supervision.
Well, again, it's blanketed to cater to like your general public, which is, you know, an inherent problem on its own, because what you're doing is you're lumping people into one thing. And anything with the human body, whether it's nutrition or fitness related or exercise, it really is just determined on an individual basis. This is, you know, this is what's going on in my body. This is how to best optimize my situation. And for them to, you know, to be able to write that in such a way that you can take a certification for this, you know, they're going to make it so all the precautionary parameters are in place. So that way, it's going to be generally good, but it's not like built for, you know, optimization.
Well, think of this. And those of you guys that are listeners and are already going through MAPS, you'll totally understand and get this. Everybody else, this is how MAPS evolved. Something that was so important to us and that we knew was going to be extremely challenging was, how do we make a program for the masses? How do we create something by not putting everybody in a box and not being like all these other tools out there that are, you know, claimed to be these super smart fitness professionals, and then they write these fucking generic programs that they say is everybody should do, and oh, dude, this is the best for this, or here's my weight loss program in 60 days or 30 days, and it's all geared to the sales aspect. That we all knew that would be easier. We knew that if we did my transformation or Justin's transformation or Doug's transformation, because we've all fucking transformed our bodies like crazy, Sal, and said, this is our, you know, weight loss program, follow it for the next 60 days and eat our program for this and do that, we would sell a hell of a lot more. But
yeah,
what MAPS is all about is the, and we've always created it to have all this flexibility and the ability to be creative and change. And you get to really see that as you evolve into MAPS Performance. So those that have started MAPS Anabolic already kind of see it. Then you really see it when you get to MAPS Performance, and you're really going to see more when you get into the next MAPS. So, you know, that's the whole idea, is to guide people through this fitness journey and to educate you along the way. So we give you these little bits of exercises, and then we explain the how and why that we do movements like this. And then we allow you to have the freedom to, okay, you know, maybe I would rather do this movement or this movement because this is more conducive to my body. And that's the idea. The idea is that we guide you through training programs, teach you how to program design yourself, and how to evolve around what best suits you. What are your goals? What are you trying to do with your body? And to learn, you to learn, because ultimately, if we're going to really impact this industry and we're going to change things like we all believe we're going to, you know, we've got to do it a different way. We have to have a different approach. And I feel like this is the best way to do that.
Well, it is. And a lot of those fitness celebrities you're talking about on Instagram and, you know, Facebook, they put out a program that they know, like, okay, if people follow this, they're going to lose weight.
Which is what everybody wants to feel and see, right?
And so they'll say, okay, I know for a fact, if people follow my program, which includes, you know, 4 days a week of cardio and includes a, you know, 6 day body part split, and the diet includes, you know, low calories, and, you know, they're going to be eating, you know, this particular way and specific. I know if people follow this, they'll lose weight. And yes, they will lose weight. But are they going to, is it a long-term program?
I challenge you right now, if you're somebody who's listening, and you, more than likely, I know there's definitely a good percentage of you that are listening right now that follow some fitness celebrity, some big name out there that has programs and does all that stuff, and scratch your head for a second and ask yourself, one, how many people do you think that person has personally trained one-on-one with a person standing in front of them, mm-hmm. you know? And then the other question you have to ask yourself, because I know you, if you've gone through some of these programs, you're like, well, fuck, it worked. I definitely lost some body fat and I felt great when after I did it. Yeah, well, no shit. The question is, did you sustain that? And did you continue to progress? Mm-hmm. If you did somebody's program and you saw 6 months great results, a year great results, year and a half,
and 2 years, could you repeat it again?
Yes.
Could you go through the whole cycles and then repeat it again and be good?
And see, yeah, exactly. And see yourself PR and see progress in the world. If you do, maybe you found somebody. Maybe you've actually found a great trainer that knows how to program Dine and teach you how to program for yourself. But I haven't seen one yet. And I know a lot of fucking fitness celebrities. I know a lot of people with programs out there. And the problem with all of them, they're all geared towards the sales aspect, is how do I sell? They all have catchy names to them. Mm-hmm. They all are, or they market to, are, you know, beast mode, super intense. And if you fail, that's the other way. It's that they go so extreme that if you succeed, yeah, no shit. If you're doing that much volume and eating that little, everybody is going to see their body change. So that's obvious. And then the ones that fail at it go, oh fuck, I guess I'm just not meant to have a body.
You're not hardcore enough.
Well, yeah. you know, the backlash, like we were talking about, like certifications and doctors and all these, like, you know, red tape and parameters, you know, the backlash to that is CrossFit. They came out because they were just like, you know, hey, we're sick of like all these, like at the academia, like telling us to do these like single leg balance, and like we want to just throw weight around again and get back to the basics. And I got that, you know, and I got excited about that. They just got way too aggressive, and then they're just like so blatantly arrogant with the fact that they're hurting people, that, you know, they let that get in the way of, you know, their ego got so massive that they can't go in and revisit things and change things. And this is where I have a humongous problem, because this is the way that I feel about a lot of people in the academic world. They get this like perception of
God complex, bro.
Yeah, it's the complex.
It becomes their dogma.
It's like that's the way, and then like they have to hold on to that, because that's pride. That's something that it. Of course it's hard to get your doctorate. Of course. Of course it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of, you know, time in reading books and due diligence. And, you know, it's very impressive. It's very respectable. You know, that's a very hard thing to accomplish. But can you always learn from somebody else? Absolutely. And if you're going to start shutting down that you can't learn from other people, then, you know, you have a big problem. And you have a big problem if you follow people like that.
Well, rule number one in fitness is this. This is rule number one. If you're a fitness professional and you're listening, never, never underestimate the individual variance that you see in people. Never underestimate that shit, because there will be someone.
So many anomalies.
There will be someone
and,
that will,
in different ways, right?
Yes, and they will defy whatever law or rule that you thought in your head of, you know, in your head, like everybody gets great results when they do this, and then you're gonna have that client that just fucking gets hurt and doesn't respond to it. But you're gonna be stubborn and hard headed about it, and you're gonna keep pushing them, you know, to do that particular thing. Never underestimate that, because individuals can vary dramatically. And there's, of course, there's general things that are true, but there's a spectrum that's wide as hell from person to person.
Yeah.
You know, we were taught forever, every certification I ever took taught me how to squat a particular way, and they were all the same.
Yeah.
And I have now learned that not everybody squats that way, yeah. And that's okay.
And the crazy part, it's now that we know and we understand now, it seems so duh and yeah. obvious,
yeah,
right?
We were fighting our own body's natural tendency. Exactly. We think about it like, so silly.
If you ask me, do I think that my femur and hip socket looks the same as Justin's and looks the same as yours? I would audit. I mean, I could, no. 10 years ago, I would say, no, I don't think that.
Our so cocks are similar.
Why would I think we squat the same if those important bones or our bone structure is different?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, duh. But we were taught a certain way for so long that we were taught this dogma. And I think that's why we're all so passionate about it, because at one point we were sucked into that. At one point we were all 20 something years old.
You believe the illusion so much yourself.
You have to, if you're going to sell yourself, right?
It is, dude. I was so blind to it. It was my belief. Mm-hmm. And I pride, even back then, I had pride in the fact that I wasn't one of those people. I was not one of those followers. I was not one of those people that would just follow something just because someone else did it. And yet there I was, yeah. telling people to eat 6 small meals a day, telling people to eat 1 or more grams of protein per pound of body.
Common knowledge, yes, as they call it.
It was incredible how blind I was. And it took my own self-discovery, my own body to reject shit and to fucking shut down, for me to finally step out and say, all right, maybe what I thought was true isn't. And that was a fucking amazing moment.
Well, it's a great place to get to. If you can get to that moment where you're willing to grow in your knowledge as a person, you know, just things that you know that you hold true right now that are standards, you know, you revisit them. Like you'd be surprised that like a lot of things will... once you dig deeper, like how many things will surface that you hadn't really took the time to evaluate.
And the other thing too is you got to not be afraid to stop doing what you're doing and try something else.
Yeah,
because that was the big thing that I can think back. That was the big thing that prevented me from discovering more truths about how my body responds and more truths about fitness.
That's a great way to put it right there.
It is.
More truths. It's not like this, something else was false. Right. Perfect example of that, what you just went through, and you mentioned this with the foam rolling and the stretching. Yes. It's not that foam rolling and stretching is not good for you before you start at all. There's science.
Another way that we discovered.
Yeah, another way that happens. And in your case, happens to work at
better.
Like, yeah, better.
Better. And that's what I mean. Like for example, you know, in the past, I would... not eat 1.5 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, because I was afraid that if I just didn't do that for a week, I'd lose all this muscle. And as illogical as it sounds, like it would never come back, you know? Like, oh fuck, now I've lost it and it's gone forever. The reality is I should have tested it. And then I would have blown my own fucking mind instead of waiting for my body to retaliate.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to try different things.
In your defense on that one, because because I know someone's listening and says like, well, maybe your body type's different, because I used to think it was coming off because I literally would see my body weight shrink because I was in a deficit. And if I didn't hit the protein, I also intake of that, and I would shrink down. But a lot of that was just, I was not filled out, you know, a lot of that was sodium and stuff like that, and water and things that I didn't really realize until. And still, I got into competing. And yes, once again, this is something that, of course, I've learned through schooling and all the certifications. I understand the importance of water. I understand how sodium works in the body. I understand all that stuff. But until I actually had to apply it to my body and mm-hmm. see that, it was like, whoa. And that made me such a better coach and a better trainer that now when I talk to somebody, I can not only, yes, I knew before that sodium and water, and you get water retention, and a lot of times that could have something to do with scale. But now I'm so more precise about it. I could literally tell somebody like, you're going to hold X amount, because I've tracked it that detailed on myself. Then, and it's such a comforting thing for them to know that I'll say, hey, guess what? I know I told you to eat like this and do this. Tomorrow, you're probably going to be holding on to a little bit of water and you're just going to see the scale go up. I don't want you to trip. It's supposed to. And then they're like, and it goes up like 0.5.
That you only get that from experience.
Yeah, exactly. You don't read that in a book nowhere. No. You don't get that. That's something that we've learned through you know, testing it through ourselves. Sal talked about this too, which I think this is a great time to reiterate this. Something that we have to be careful on now that we have created ourselves as authorities in this industry. If you've listened to us for 240 episodes, you obviously know that we know something a little bit about fitness. So now when we say something, everybody jumps on right away. And we all had a talk the other day about, you know, we got to be very careful of explaining to people. Sometimes when we're doing stuff, it's because we're actually experimenting ourselves. So we're just constantly trying to learn. We're trying to learn more. You know, we're always pushing the limits. And an example of that, Sal's running a ketogenic diet right now. Example of that for me, I'm running my modified version of that. It's definitely not ketogenic because I'm not 100% no carbs, but I allow fruit into my diet and all what I want fruit wise when I feel like I need it. But I am running a super high fat and a moderate to low protein intake. That's kind of similar, you know? So we're always doing different stuff like that. Right now I'm actually doing a lot of different mobility work. So I've been really the two things I'm focused on right now is shoulder and hip mobility. And I've been incorporating different exercises I would never do on a regular basis. I try and post those on Instagram. I just did one the other day. I do stuff right now, different dynamic warm, and I'm doing different moves. I'm trying different things for me. And then I'm assessing how I feel when I work out and my day when I walk around and I move, like, and noticing if I'm generating more power in my squat or I get more comfortable in the hole. There's things like this that we're always messing with. So just because I come out and say, like, this is what I'm doing right now, it doesn't necessarily mean, always remember that. We are not, none of us are ever saying this is the best
way. We had someone on the forum the other day comment, and they said, you know, I've been listening to your episodes, and so I started a ketogenic diet. I did it today, and I got really sick, and I threw up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't sleep. I guess my body just needed to adjust to the diet. Like, that was their response. So I luckily saw it right away, and I went and commented, and I said, listen, rule number one, listen to your body. If that's the kind of reaction you're having, it's probably not for you. It's not something you need to adjust to. Either go into it much slower and see how you feel, or don't do it. And that's something that took me a long time to learn to be able to say to people, because you, like I said, you get stuck in that dogma. Look, I'm 100% confident in the MAPS program being one of the most effective workouts out there. But I always have said this, it's going to be more effective for most people, not everybody, but I could confidently say about 80% of the people that do it, it'll blow away anything that they've ever done, because I know there's probably a 15 to 20% of people out there that might do better on a body part split, traditional type of routine. Although they probably already know they're doing good on it, and they probably would never even look into getting something like that. But you get my drift.
Yeah.
Like eating, I mean, for instance, along those lines, like I do a lot better with like high fat, high protein, and very low carbohydrate. And my wife, like, she does not, you know, do well with like lowering her carbohydrates. It really affects, she gets headaches, you know, it's just really, really bad energy. And gets affected, and it just ruins her whole day. And I'm like, well, you know, this is something. Unfortunately, it's not like, you know, preparing dinners and all these things like you eat together. You know, ideally, I would have like things just on the fats and the proteins. But you know, that's how I respond. And I had to realize that I can't, like, me being the trainer and her being the nurse. You know, I'm like, come on, you know. And then she's giving me the pushback. And but it's true though. It's like we're very different. You know, I sleep, I'm like a million degrees and she's freezing. And it's just like, so just can't win.
Something that I learned, you know, and I'll share with you guys. So we'll try and do this when we test ourselves and feedback. Here's something I learned about the ketogenic diet. When I'm trying to follow ketogenic, and if I am teetering and I feel like I can literally feel my body doing this, because I get headaches, I get really tired. And what I think, and Sal, you can chime in here if you actually have some fucking study that you probably read and remember.
I love how he rolls his eyes.
And he rolls his eyes.
Because I probably read the same one. I can't fucking regurgitate it the way this fool will. So, no, I appreciate it. That's why we have you here. So what I notice is this, is let's say I'm going about my day and I've decided I'm committed to a ketogenic type of diet and I'm eating this way. So I start off, which is, those that don't know, high fat, absolutely no carbohydrates. And then your protein is moderate. So what I found was I would get these headaches, or I'd feel tired and I would think, oh, this isn't for me. It's not working for me. But then when I was tracking my food and actually really paying attention to what was going on, what was happening was I was not pushing the fats high enough. Mm-hmm. I wasn't making the same way that I used to make an effort to get X amount of protein or shoot at a certain point of carbs. I never had to focus on like literally trying to get more fat into my diet. And I thought, well, I'll just eat fatty foods. I'll always make a fattier choice every time. And that's just how I was going to go about it. And that was a not a good approach, because what it ended up doing was, and this is what I think I felt, Sal, and this is the part where you could help me out here, is I think I felt my body confused on, am I supposed to be using glucose or am I supposed to be using ketones? Because
your protein intake was too high.
Yeah, and it's wondering like,
am I
it's
man, am it, I a girl?
Yeah, it's like it's looking for, because if what happens when we go into ketosis, now our body's using ketones for energy versus glucose as its primary source of fuel, correct? Mm-hmm. So what I think is happening is I'm not giving it any glucose because I'm starving it of carbohydrates, but then I'm over saturating it with protein and under eating it with fats, so it's not getting a good source of energy. And so I would notice when I went, okay, I guess I'm going balls to the wall on this fat, 10 pieces of bacon, 6 eggs, yeah, 1 ounce of organic cheese, like that's now, or and some steak or something would be a breakfast.
And then you'd feel better.
Oh, I'd feel much better. And I'd feel satiated. I'd feel great. I wouldn't have any dip. It was.
Well, rule number one, like I said, is listen to your body. When you're, you know, if you're working with a fitness professional and they don't ask you how you feel,
yeah,
that's a red flag
big time.
Because every time I train a client, every single time, the way I begin their workout is, how did you feel after our last workout?
Which this is
the
same.
And
this is
also, how are you feeling today? And like, what are where?
That's it.
Energy level.
This is also the creation of the forum, and why we built that was we knew that, okay, we're going to roll this program up, but if we're still once again going to make sure that it has so many more moving parts and abilities to evolve it, we need to have this ability for people to access us and tell us their feedback and say,
great point.
Say, hey guys, I notice whenever I do this movement, I feel this way, or post a video, could you check my form? Now it allows us to say, oh wow, we noticed that, you know, your body's moving this way. You need to sit back more on your heels. You're not able to rotate your hips out enough. You're bending down too much. We can start to critique, and we can probably start to help them learn more about their body and send them in the right direction, which may mean they got to change from our program a little bit, but now it's directed in the way that's really going to benefit them.
Yeah, and well, one of the main problems, like for me being functionally, you know, training based, looking into online training, it was just like, you know, where do I begin? Like, how can I train somebody from a functional standpoint with the tools provided today virtually? I mean, it's pretty difficult because all I'm focused on is how your movement is, like, you know, the quality of it, you know, where I need to address imbalance. And these are things I need to see.
A good trainer, a good, you know, fitness professional or person that's helping you with your fitness and health is not they're not a teacher. It's a guide. It's very different. They're not telling you specifically what to do. They're guiding you because of those individual variances. Now, think about yourself as an individual. Think about all the things that can influence how you feel, how you move, how you eat, how you sleep, everything. Everything from what you had for breakfast to the argument you had with your husband to I didn't sleep good last night to I have 3 kids to my job is stressful or it's not stressful or I go for walks during the day or I don't or I'm predisposed for this particular autoimmune issue or I'm not or whatever. There's literally a million different, you know, types of variables. So you want an instructor that's a guide that's going to listen and help you listen to your body. I have another individual that I'm working with virtually, and she's extremely experienced in fitness, very, very fit, knows quite a bit about what she's doing, but she's dealing with metabolic damage, adrenal fatigue, and some gut issues. And so I'm helping her on this, and she decided to do a bone broth fast. And this is recommended by some gut health experts to help build the gut, reduce inflammation, especially if you have something like leaky gut syndrome. She was on it for 5 days. I contacted her and I asked her, like you should if you're a good trainer, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Right.
I'm so emotional. I can't stop crying. I feel so sick. I'm nauseous. Any bit of food in my mouth, I want to throw up. And so the fast is supposed to last 7 days. Now, she's... like most of us, you get stuck in that dogma. This program says 7 days.
Yeah, so I just need to stick to it and give it
I need
it
to tough
chance.
It out.
Yeah.
I need to tough it out for 2 more days.
Right.
This is my body detoxing. It's my body telling me that it's getting rid of all this bad stuff. My advice to her was, It sounds like you need to stop.
Yeah.
Why don't you slowly reintroduce food one at a time, see how you feel, and always listen to your body. Listen to what your body's telling you. And this is what I mean by being a guide. You know, I'm not stuck on, one particular method or mythology, method or dogma. You have to listen to the body and listen to the individual and how the body's responding. And you can do that to yourself as well. If you're working with a trainer, mm-hmm. pay attention to yourself. And don't forget that the internet is a very valuable tool. There's so much information out there that you can learn from. I got a DM the other day from
navigate properly, though.
Dude. The more you practice, the better you're at. I can find almost anything on YouTube, on Google now within 2 seconds. But I had a doctor contact me the other day on direct message on Instagram, and he's like, a big fan of your show. I love Mind Pump. You mispronounced this word and this word, and I can't remember what they were. And this
somebody called you out on that.
Well, I'll tell you why. This happens to me all the time. I train a lot of surgeons. And I'll talk to them about an article that I read on a particular medication or surgical procedure. And they'll correct me on the pronunciation of a word. Why? Because I've never heard that word being said. I've only read it. And so this, it's true. I've only read these words because I'm constantly trying to learn these things.
Yeah.
I've just never heard them being said. So of course I'm going to sometimes.
Oh, okay. Especially getting on you for.
Especially medically, because a lot of stuff is derived from Latin and shit. Right. So it's like super, I mean.
Right, and so it's just, you know, I do a lot of that research.
Why don't you just do what I do?
What do I do? Just say it real fast.
I just blend it all together. I just blend them together.
They're like, wait, did he say that properly? Exactly. But that information is there, and it's available to you, and you can learn and read about it. But you just got to be open minded. Look for a guide. Don't look for a trainer. Look for someone who's got experience working with a lot of regular people. Chances are you're a regular person. You're not any different than anybody else.
Yeah, but that's really hard. It's tough because you see this guy or girl and they're in phenomenal shape and they're inspiring and it's...
You get drawn to that.
Yeah, you're drawn to that. And you know what sucks? And this is true. And I think you guys will agree with me here. If not, please speak up. If I were to talk about some of like the most like intelligent, well-read trainers or people that I would look to for mentorship or learn from, I would hate to say this, but 80%, maybe 90% of them don't look like I want to look.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
That's really, when you think about that right there, and it was one of the hardest things I had as a head trainer. With a staff of these trainers underneath me that I was developing, and you want these really intelligent guys and girls. And what I was finding when I was hiring them was like, it's like I felt like I got either or. It was like I either got the super pretty guy who's super ripped and the chick that
doesn't know shit,
is dumb as rocks. And then I got the other guy who's like, you know, going through his kinesiology degree. He's read all these great books. He's learning. He's perfect. He's super smart. Fat as fuck. You know, I'm just like, it's crazy, but it's very true. People tend to, if you're a trainer and you're successful because the way you can get yourself in shape, you tend to spend most of your energy and your time growing in that area and that area only. Those that are really, really intelligent spend all their time in that world that they neglect the other side. It's rare to find somebody in the middle, and it makes it very tough for the consumer because you hear this one really smart guy telling you all this good information, but then you look at him and you're like, fuck, I don't want to look like him. So if he's preaching this, that this is the way, even if that's the way, I'm going to find the other way then. Because I want to look a certain way.
I determined a long time ago, and I, for those of you who are listening, who are fitness professionals and trying to build your business, if you build your business based upon the way you look, number one, if you're the 1% of the 1% and you're supermodel good looking, fine. But the chances are you're not. Even if you look great and you're super fit and you can get yourself 10,000 followers on Instagram. If you're known for the way you look, that is super ineffective at selling any product or selling any type of training or building any kind of a brand because it's very fleeting. Eventually you get older and you're not going to look the way that people want to look and no one's going to listen to you. Not only that, but you have no influence. You have zero influence. Like, how much influence do you have if you just look good versus if you're the one that came up with the ideas that changed?
Well, you can see a lot of Flavor God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Craig, our boy, a little shout out to our boy, Craig Caperso. Actually, he just did a Periscope the other day on something very similar, that of asking yourself the why. He was venting. He was frustrated that he was heading over to the gym. He was after he left the funeral, and then he had to go home after the reception and stuff. And then he went to work out because he's right in the middle of, you know, cutting hard. You know, he's got a 20-pound cut. He's already like 5% body fat, and he's got a 20-pound cut right now ahead of him to get under the weight so he can do men's classics. And you could see he was frustrated because he's like, you know, what is this all for? You know, I challenge those of you that are listening to me right now. And it was a really good a little rant that he went on, because it is true. You know, a lot of people don't realize what the why is, you know, and they search after getting in themselves in this crazy, crazy peak condition that's not even really sustainable for a long time. And they get there and it's like, well, what do I do with it now? And in my industry, what I deal with, they actually think that's the end all. You get super ripped, you get on stage, you work your way up.
Boom, I'm successful.
Yeah, I work your way up to professional level, and then I'm going to make all this money. No. That's a joke.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that at all. In fact, I don't know very many, and I'm talking guys that are sponsored up.
Don't you love Adam's fake laugh? It's like my favorite.
It was kind of scary.
You know,
it's my favorite.
These guys are sponsored up, and don't be fooled, you guys. They don't make shit for money. And I mean, that literally the 1% of the 1% of the 1% are making decent money being sponsored by some company and all these magazine shoots. You know, most of these people, they aspire so much to be like these guys, and then they get there and it's not what you think it is.
Well, I think too, they get caught up in the whole, like, I have this many followers. I have this is going to, you know, guarantee me success, and I'm going to make all this money. I'll tell you something. If you're going the social media route, and you're known for your ideas and your information, and you have 10,000 followers, you're going to be far more effective with that 10,000 than, you know, so-and-so who's just known for their looks, who's got, let's say, 50,000 followers. So, you know, be one of those people, you know. Take fitness seriously and promote real, true information and help people with your ideas. Looking good is great. And if you look good on top of it, that's a home run.
That's a kicker.
That's a, yeah. But then focus on the real pump information. Yeah. Become a guide.
Yeah. Be careful. I mean, be careful right away when I see someone crazy, super ripped, to be honest with you. I'm always skeptical, because in my experience in 15 years and 10 of those years developing trainers, the ones that were super ripped 9 times out of 10 weren't the best trainers. So now there are those anomalies. I'm not saying that there's guys out there that are not badass at looking badass and then badass at actually teaching people how to be badass. But let me tell you, they are anomalies. They are very rare. And so don't be fooled just because they have a million followers, they look super badass, and that, you know, they're super inspiring to watch and watch their videos and shit. Don't be fooled. Well, more than likely, they're not the one I'm talking about.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with athletes too, though. I mean, the most badass players that you've grown up watching and what, you know, insert sport. Look at how many of them could be a coach.
Very little.
You know what I mean? There's very little, very select few, or even be a commentator for that matter.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? They're just very good at doing what they're told.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of this saying. It reminds me of this saying. The guy in the gym with the biggest calves probably doesn't work out his calves.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so I think a lot of these people that look the way they do, they won kind of the genetic lottery.
Yeah.
And they apply some principles and boom, they look ridiculous. Yep. And so that may be why they never learned some of that important information.
Yeah, it was easy.
Yeah, don't be fooled by it. Don't buy into cookie cutter or anything. And that being said, don't forget to Sal?
Leave us 5-star rating and review on iTunes. You can find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And you can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam. And if you're interested in checking out the MAPS programs that we've talked about on the show, you can go to mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.